Welcome. I'm Victoria Schnepps, president of Schnepps Media. And today we have a fabulous power woman who is going to be telling us about her journey and leadership of the EAC network. So I want to welcome Neela McGeorge-Lockel. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here with you today.
Well, you know, we are, as women, many balls are in the air with our lives, and we keep them all going, which is extraordinary. But it all started to have your leadership because you've got a record of years of leadership of many community organizations that are very powerful in our lives. But how did it all start? What gave you the courage to be the leader of your organization? Was there something in your childhood that propelled you to that position today?
You know, what's interesting is, so I'm an only child. My parents are immigrants from India. And like I said, I'm an only child. So for my parents, there was literally nothing I couldn't do. So that's really, that has always been what they always said to me. And when I was younger, I didn't have any idea what that meant, right? They would say things to me like, you can be the president. And I would say, oh my goodness, I don't even know what you're talking about. But along the way, it was after I had gone to college, I thought I was going to be a lawyer. And then I discovered social work. And when I discovered social work, it was like all the puzzle pieces automatically just clicked. And I loved, you know, I've done clinical work and I love that side of things, but I'm a better administrator. And I just always had a lot of ideas and I couldn't stop talking or not talking, but sharing my ideas, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
I was grateful to be in environments that were encouraging and supportive. And a little bit, I stepped into leadership or executive leadership as the accidental executive director, if you will. I started at, you know, I had a long career. I've worked with youth. I've worked with homeless populations. I've worked in a variety of different settings, in school settings and everything, academics. And I found myself at Girls Inc. on the board and then became a part-time executive director, if you will, after it had been founded and it had been sort of waiting for somebody to step in. And it was the right time of my life and I loved it. And it was amazing and it's an incredible organization. And it was when I found my tribe of women and other leaders and people in the community who shared a vision. And so I would say that while I was the accidental executive director, I was probably always on this path. And I have found a community of people that has been encouraging, right? And supportive. And, you know, I think that to have a shared vision of what the future holds or what the future can hold is inspiring and exciting for me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Well, you know, I know that you are a mother of two children, mm-hmm. which is not easy. I'm a mother of four children, and I know what challenges that has. But yet you've been able to grow your career at the same time. Was there something that allowed you to be able to take on the leadership from Girls Inc.? You went to Red Cross, and now you are the CEO of a major organization, EAC Network.
Yeah. You know, honestly, the truth is, it is my husband who is my partner and has been just always supportive and has always, you know, he was a city police officer, so he had a crazy schedule also, but he has always been my champion. And then my parents who have made a lot of sacrifices to help me and help me manage my life. And, you know, I forced a little flexibility because I needed it. And I was grateful to have boards of directors who have been understanding and accommodating. And I think that that really made the difference. It allowed me to, you know, be present where and when I needed to be present fully. And it gave me the opportunity to make my children and my family a part of my life, and allowed me to let my work, you know, my family allowed my work to be a part of my family life as well. And so that sort of that synergy was critical. It would have been hard to do all of it otherwise.
Well, they say it takes a village
It
to be
takes a
able to be
village.
successful, and you certainly have been very successful. Tell
Thank
us about EAC's network and their vision and your vision for it and what its purpose and role is.
Sure. So EAC Network, we're a vast organization. Our footprint is covers all of downstate New York. And our mission is to empower people and give them resources and help them to navigate really complicated systems. So we serve well over 60,000 people a year. We have about 100 and more than 110 programs operating at all times. We have about 450 staff across our footprint. So we cover the island, five boroughs, Rockland County, and we are five divisions of programming. So we have our children and youth services. We operate in Suffolk County, a child advocacy center where children who are abused come for multidisciplinary investigations. It's a child-friendly environment to help the parents or the caregivers to access resources to move forward. We provide services to minor victims of human trafficking. We are the provider of Safe Harbor for Suffolk County. And we have a variety of other youth programs, including mentoring programs for kids in foster care. We do supervised visitations, things like that. We have our family and community programs, which are things like helping people put car seat access and put car seats in their cars.
Oh.
We're also the place where if you get in a little bit of trouble and maybe you have to do some community service, you would come to us, and we partner with other organizations to get people their community service in. We have our seniors and nutrition programs where we operate four senior centers in Nassau County with the Nassau County Department Office of the Aging. And we are also the provider of Meals on Wheels in Nassau County. We have a guardianship program. So if you are elderly or incapacitated, we would be your guardian, we would be your companion, your caretaker, and make sure that we are ensuring that you're not isolated from the community. And then we have our criminal justice and behavioral health programs, which cover our whole footprint. We do work in the alternative to incarceration space, reentry. We have a health home program where if you have a history of a criminal justice background and additional health issues, we will come to you and hold your hand as you navigate the systems and make sure you're getting the care that you need when you need it. We also have vocational services. So that's our fifth pillar. So that's woven into all of our programs, knowing that people really need to have the resources, the knowledge, the skills, the access to be able to get themselves somewhere, something, whether it's education, whether it's work. And then the last thing that we do, and this is actually part of our family and community programs, we operate the Long Island Dispute Resolution Center, which makes mediation services available to the community. So it's vast. There's a lot of programs I didn't tell you about, but our goal really is to be a safety net for the community and make sure that when people are involved in systems, that they have somebody that can help them get through it. We have great partnerships with all the district attorneys, with our Department of Social Services, with agencies like legal aid to make sure that people are getting the support and resources that they need. Certainly, with all of our community partners across the footprint, our footprint, because we want to make sure that whoever we're working with has access to everything that they need, all the resources that they need to be successful and to live a better life.
Well, you know, what seems to be going on since COVID is this tremendous mental illness
Absolutely.
amongst young people. And while I was listening to you with the various hats you wear, literally, I'm wondering, have you been able to get funding for any programs that specifically attack this problem we're facing for young people?
So the mental health crisis is the kind of thing that infiltrates everything, right? It is touching everything. There's not a space that we're working in that we're not dealing with those issues. I would say to you that in the criminal justice space, one of our skill sets really is to provide evaluations for the courts, mental health evaluations, to ensure that as people are returning to the community, that they are well enough to return, that if they need additional resources, we can provide them. So I would say, in terms of funding, it depends on what we're talking about, right? I think that we recognize that mental health is critical and that it is touching everybody and everything. I think that we are very grateful and fortunate to have some partnerships and some resources from government to help us to be able to address some of that need. The need is vast, right? So I tell people sometimes, somebody once told me this and stuck with me. If you make a donation of $100, that $100 will make a huge impact, but the need is two or three additional zeros at least, right? And so whatever we're putting into it is incredible and is important. We can't lose what we're already putting into it, but the truth is that the need is infinitely times greater. And I'll say that if we can adequately, and I say adequately, right? Because at the bare minimum, to adequately address these issues, I think that we'll be making an enormous impact on it. I tell people all the time, you can't talk about public safety and only talk about it from the top down. Public safety is not just putting more police officers on the street, and it's not just adding to whatever resources the justice system has. It's also ensuring that individuals and people have a place to live, have purpose, they need vocation, they need to wake up and have a reason to wake up every day. They need to feel cared for, and they need to be a part of a community. And so for EAC Network, our work is helping people on from the ground up to access those resources. We want people to feel safe. We want people to feel cared for. We want people to have access to medical care, mental health care, and treatment, so that they can be a part of the community. And really, everybody benefits from that. Our schools, our neighborhoods, our elderly, right? The mental health crisis is affecting the elderly. We operate senior centers and Meals on Wheels. I mean, if you think about what COVID did to our seniors who were isolated and what that has done for them. The quick answer to your question is that I think that we all know it's a critical need. I would say that we need greater advocacy and a little bit more of putting our money where our mouth is and making sure that we're funding the programs that are showing you that they can have an impact.
So, do you believe that the programs that you already have just need another layer of a social worker or outreach person for mental health? Because it sounds like you run so many programs that touch so many lives, but maybe there's a need for a person focusing on the mental health part of the service.
We actually have psychiatrists on staff, psychologists, and social workers. Yes, the need is for more. Absolutely, right? I can just tell you, I mean, we're in a program, right? So we operate an agency and we have people coming here for services, and oftentimes they are referred to us from some system or another. But as a parent, if my child needed to get to a therapist, you can't find a therapist. It's very hard to find a therapist who's working in person, and to not be stuck on a waiting list. And so the need is vast. There are not enough mental health practitioners out there. And it's
It's
partly
a
because
great career. It's a great career,
it's
you know.
there.
You're right. How would somebody make a donation to EAC? Do you accept donations?
We certainly do. You can go right to our website, EAC-network.org, and there's a click to donate. You can also hit up any of our social media. We're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram, and you can contact any of us. You can find our contact information right on the website. And if you wanted to talk to us about a specific kind of a donation, we're happy to do that. We're very, very accessible. You can reach any of us via email or phone. Actually, all of our contact information is right on the website, and we welcome everybody's support and awareness of the work that we're doing.
Well, you have been very successful in what you do. And I'm wondering if you could share with us some secrets to success that you would give to our listeners.
Sure. I think that the first thing that I tell people is you have to be open, right? You have no idea who you're talking to. I think that kindness and that kind of the way that you interact with people is very important, right? So that's the first thing, that know that you don't know who you're talking to, and you should never assume that anybody is above or below whatever idea you have, that we're all in this together. So that's the first thing. And then the other thing I would say is to thoughtfully be in a place of yes, right? To, you can't always do all the things, but I think that if your orientation is how do we make something good work? How do we make this work? Then that should be how you think about things, right? And if you are the kind of person who can make things happen or make things work, that's an incredible skill set, and it teaches you incredible resourcefulness that is going to help you all the way down the road. So those are two little tidbits. I have plenty, but
Well, those are terrific. But I would like you to share with us one more time EAC's website. So if people want to be help, get help or give help, they know
yes,
where to go.
I would love it. And we accept about donations and we love volunteers. So all of that is great. So it's EAC-network.org. Please check out our social media and, reach out. We're here. We have lots of great programs and varying needs, and probably it's very likely that we've touched you or somebody that you know through any of our programming.
Well, it's been an extraordinary pleasure to talk with you, to learn about the impact you are having on the various communities you serve, which is very vast. And I am delighted that all of us were able to speak and listen to Neela McGurkey Lockle, who is the CEO of the EAC Network. Congratulations, and
Thank
may it
you.
be a great year.
Thank you very much. Wishing you a happy year as well. Happy New Year as well, and all the blessings that come with that.
Thank you. Until next time, this is Victoria Schneps, publisher of Schneps Media, signing off. Bye now.